You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, recorded Wednesday, October 28th, 2009. I am Brian Kilby. You will notice on today's show that my volume is a tad low. This is due to a recent computer upgrade going from Windows 7 RC1 to Windows 7. Also, I was not on the first segment. I will be rejoining the crew at the beginning of the second segment due to a baking catastrophe.
Police have identified more victims and plan on more than just the four murder charges filed today.
Confirm earlier reports of cannibalism.
The building was a scene of ghoulish slaughter.
A large kettle on the stove which held boiled body parts.
Identified more victims.
Killed even more.
Plan on more than just the four murder charges filed today.
Had sex with some of his victims before he killed them, and that he was also a necrophiliac.
Listening to Radio Free Cybertron. As you may have noticed, I am not Brian Kilby.
And the three joists.
Yeah. I am JD Church, and with me we have John. How
Hello.
You doing, John? We have XV.
Hey.
How's it going, XV?
And, oh, pretty.
And Rob as well.
Yes, that's me.
Brian apparently has had a last-moment emergency-ish, although it didn't sound like a huge emergency. But anyway,
the emergency, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it's not nothing dangerous. No one's gonna die.
Just baking.
Yeah, it's That's a baking all. Catastrophe apparently that he has to deal with. So
it takes precedence over the robot show.
I mean, you know,
because his wife says so.
Exactly, and for those of us that are married. We understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the show this week, we have got This Day in History. We're going to have an interview with Ironhide 1975, of course, of the T-Formers podcast. John's going to have an interview for us later. We've got other news and bits of information to talk about. And, of course, we'll have a few Halloween-themed tidbits for the show, since, of course, Halloween is this coming weekend, so very exciting. So, first up, this day in Transformers history, 1986 saw the premiere of the episode The Dweller in the Depths. And, of course, that premiered on October 30th, 1986. What was this episode? What happened? Give us who's got the rundown on this one.
Oh, this is like one of my favorites. It's like the Quintessons unleash they trick Galvatron into unleashing a monster that they built while they're developing this Transformers down in the, quote, depths of Cybertron. And basically all these Transformer mutant things kind of run amok, and then the Dweller comes out, and he, like, does, like, a vampire thing on the Transformers, making them into zombies, basically. So it becomes a big zombie thing with a slug-looking monster with tentacles.
And the Dweller is the what?
He's a creation of the Quintessons. Essentially, they while they were I can't remember if it was while they were developing the Transformers or prior to developing them. He's sort of like a energy monster they had made, and apparently there's one Quintesson who we hadn't seen up till that episode, whose one of his faces was destroyed by the Dweller. He made a return in the Wreckers comics.
Mm.
He's kind of a big slug with tentacles.
I see. So maybe a semi-retcon as far as a Quince that we hadn't seen, but... So does this kind of... And as I'm recalling, I mean, it's been a little bit since I had actually seen this episode. I've seen bits of it, but... I mean, is this what sort of related back to that organic core of Cybertron? I know that there's been some reference to linking those two things anyway.
Yeah, the lower levels of Cybertron and Dweller in the Depths look like dirt and rock, basically an organic planet that had been pressed over metal surface.
Okay. And it's scary? I mean, this is a scary episode, yes? So.
Yeah, I mean, zombies, hello.
Yeah. It's weird, if anything.
Creepy, right? It's creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy and weird.
Gotcha.
It's got similar look to it, like to a Call of the Primitives, like same similar art style, I think.
Is it the same studio? It's not the same studio, though, is it?
I wouldn't think so, but it's not as extreme anime-ish, but it's kind of similar along the art quality. Or at least I've always thought so.
Excellent. So, of course, this episode is also on our Twitter theater for this week, correct?
It is one of the many.
Okay, we're kind of there, so let's go into. So, what did we cover in Twitter theater this week? Talk to us about Twitter theater.
Well, as we all know, I've been spamming the crap out of everyone's Facebook and Twitter page with videos all week. And for Twitter theater, the official one, we had Animated's Along Came a Spider. That was the official Tuesday Twitter theater one, which, of course, where Black Arachnia made her reappearance on Animated, but it was on a Halloween night where you had kids walking around in costumes and Bumblebee and Bulkhead went trick-or-treating with Sorry.
Was that the first Transformers episode that officially referenced Halloween?
I think so. Truthful.
Okay. Yeah, as far as, like, series?
I think as far as shows, because there's that story in Transformers Legends where the mini-cons went trick-or-treating with Rad and Carlos. Yeah.
Really?
And they dressed up as Rad and Carlos and Alexis while the R2-3 dressed up as the monsters.
If I remember. No way. Where is this?
Like, Transformers Legends, yes, that book came out, I think, 04, where it's just a bunch of short
stories. Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. Like the mini-cons went trick-or-treating with them, and the whole thing takes place as mini-cons are sitting at a campfire telling young mini-cons about the first Halloween they had. I'm not kidding. And they tell about the story, and it ends on a bittersweet note that the kids have done died since this night. So it's just kind of weird.
That is not how it ends. You're That's making that up, sir.
No, it doesn't directly say they're dead. Might as well say humans live a lot less. I mean, a lot less longer than we do, and they're no longer with us. It's like, Carlos is dead.
Wow.
Oh, what do you expect to happen to him after they blast him off to Mars?
I wanted Fred to be president.
Wow. I mean, this is like the forethought to like end a story like that that's would seem to be a sort of happy-go-lucky romp about so Halloween.
Cute.
And then to end it out, oh, by the way, humans die.
Oh, ironically, I'm looking at the list, and today's Twitter theater, Facebook theater, whatever we're calling it, was Dweller in the Depths, so that was unintentional.
How fitting.
I posted that 2 hours ago, and I've already forgotten, so I had to look at it.
Good job, Rob.
I'm good.
What else are we featuring this week as a part of our Halloween?
We had that Master Force episode.
Master Force?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Saturday was Dark Awakening. Sunday was Spark of Darkness from Beast Machines. Monday was the Master Force with the zombies, because I was reaching.
That's not reaching. That's good. That's a good zombie, you know, scary episode.
Well, Pretenders, zombies. I was kind of thinking what else I don't know what I already had. Yesterday, Along Came a Spider. Today, Dweller in the Depths. Tomorrow, it's going to be a long one, Feral Scream.
Oh, good. I was hoping that we'd get it somewhere.
Well, come on. You got Frankenstein references. You got the Wolfman references. You got Tasmanian Devil references. All there.
I was pushing for that to be Twitter theater this week, like the official one.
Oh, I must have missed it. Friday, we got Black Friday from Animated.
Wouldn't that be more appropriate for the day after Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it might get reran. I was going because Pretenders made an appearance in it.
Yeah.
And Saturday, we got Starscream's Ghost.
Ooh.
Because I figure no one's going to be home. Including me. I gotta remember to post it before I leave.
Excellent.
<No. laughs>
All right.
Board.
So it's an entire gamut of Halloween scary themed episodes to take along with you this week. So excellent. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
There wore our holiday.
I love that. that is perfect, sir.
Yeah, you gotta trademark that.
I should.
Yep. So
your candy.
Okay, all right. So, John, you have a review for us, sir.
Yes, sir. I picked a Revenge of the Fallen figure. One, because of course they're topical; they're the things on the shelves now. And two, also because I think for the most part, everybody on the show isn't so much into the toy line, myself included. But there is a subline, if you will, in it. That piqued my interest, and so I'm collecting all the Human Alliance figures, and so that kind of satisfies, I guess, my need for Transformers on a semi regular basis. And yes. Really, what better toy to review on Halloween week than Skids? Because you know what toy has an uglier face than Skids? So he's kind of like a walking horror show.
Nice. I wondered where that was going. So very good.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. It's like they took a perfectly fine face and a baseball bat and took it in the back. But anyway, okay. So Skids. So as everybody knows, he's one of the two twins. And since I haven't watched the movie since the theaters, I'm guessing by his goldish tooth, he is the quote unquote ghetto version, ghetto twin, not the honky twin. So anyway. So he's the bumbling green guy, and he turns into a Chevy Beat, which if you remember,
he looked like he was beat.
Yeah, he does look like he was beat, you know, mostly in the face from the neck up. And it's a concept car, but it's not as exciting as you would think. Usually concept cars are really neat and really out there. This looks like any one of the thousands of hatchbacks out there. So it's kind of a mundane concept car. I mean, it looks just like a Mazda Matrix, for one. Anyway, but it is a very, very nice toy overall. For anybody who hasn't really like played or messed around with the Human Alliance figures, they're roughly 1/24th scale. I mean, not quite, but roughly. It gives you a good idea. Alternators-ish. And the human figures that come with them are much smaller than G.I. Joe's. Figure about 2 inches tall, give or take, maybe 2.5 inches tall. Something more of like, if you wanted some kind of comparison, they're probably closer to, say, like a Mask figure from back in the day.
What about the Exo Squad pilots?
That's a fair comparison. Something like that. Technically they're an action figure. They've got some articulation at all the major joints and stuff. They do have a torso joint kind of at the midway, so they can kind of hunch over or lean back. So that's kind of nice. But otherwise, don't plan. I mean, they're not like this fully formed action figure. They're just this kind of like sideshow. But they are cool because, you know, it's kind of that G.I. Joe Transformers crossover feel that, you know, lots of people over the years have kind of longed for, you know, human figures and Transformers. And so here you go. This is probably as good as you're going to get.
I wanted human figures with animated.
Yeah, see, well, you know, if they did like animated equivalents or like animated versions of these moles and these sizes, it'd be perfect, actually, because they're, like I said, they're about 2 inches tall. So if you put that next to the animated figures, that would work really well. It'd be tiny, but it would work really well. So anyway, you know, I've read some of the other reviews of Skids. And he's getting boffo reviews. So everybody basically has said, up to this point, he's the third Human Alliance figure behind Bumblebee and Sideswipe. For the most part, people are ranking him number one, Bumblebee number two, and Sideswipe number three. And I would agree with that because Skids, you know, whether or not you like his face and his mannerism and stuff like that, overall, he's got a really awesome silhouette, and the proportions are right on. He's got great balance, great articulation. And because he's smaller than the other two Human Alliance figures by a pretty good margin, by at least a couple inches shorter, they packed in an RC with him for Michaela to ride. And the RC is roughly kind of a Scout, maybe on the smaller side of a Scout, more like a Legends figure. Not that great of a toy, I'm not going to lie. You know, it's like a Legends figure. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth. But it's nice that they packed in something to kind of like fill out the box and give you a little more sense of value. But anyway, I mean, in the end, you know, he's got great articulation, solid car mode, you know, just a little hatchback car. The robot mode is great. And then, like, with all the Human Alliance figures, he's got different ways to interact directly with the figure. So he has, like, he has like a seat on his arm. And, you know, there are pegs in his hands for her to sit on. And so it's really nice that, you know, you don't have like these two separate toys that really have like nothing to do with each other. They interact with the human figure. Mm. So, you know, I would say, like, in short, if anybody has any desire at all for Revenge of the Fallen figures, you know, if they want to just test it out or just like maybe have something from the toy line, this is easily the best three or four figures that you're going to get out of that line, because, you know, the roughly alternators, think alternators in terms of kind of size and complexity and detail, and for the money, it's by far like the best that you're going to do for this line.
What is the price on it? What is the price point at?
They're about $25, give or take.
Five.
So how much? 25.
Yeah, 25.
Where?
Wow, 30 here.
Yeah, well, yeah, it depends. Like, you know, Target, right now they're 25 at Target.
Wow.
And so, you know.
Are they on sale this week or what?
They could be. They could very well be. I mean, I picked them up for 25. Huh. So it's a good deal. It's a good deal for, like I said, for basically alternators-ish. The thing about it is, what's good about it, unlike the alternators, they're just like maybe a smidge simpler in their transformation. So they use all the same tricks. You know, their arms fold out from under the hood the same type of way. Lots of the things that you would see in alternators, but it's not quite as frustrating. They kind of pulled back on the complexity, and so that's really nice. It hits a nice middle ground on complexity.
So I'm fascinated by these Human Alliance figures, because my initial thought looking at it, you know, when they first said, you know, okay, we're going to be doing these Human Alliance figures, and it's going to be a Transformer paired with a figure, my thought was fail. I mean, my initial thought was, there's no way this is going to fly. The figures are going to be really oddly proportioned. The extra human figures aren't going to be worth it, and the price point's going to be so high that nobody's going to be interested. And what I keep hearing is sort of the opposite. I keep hearing that these are the figures to own. This is the best stuff that's there. I guess what I'm saying is, like, I guess I'm interested in the disconnect. Like, why is it that how am I wrong?
You know, I think Human Alliance figures are, it's interesting. Like, it's a question of, are these figures really good, or are the other figures that disappointing or that off the mark? Because, like, the larger leader class figures, you know, I've messed around with some, and they're really expensive, and they don't feel to me like they're worth that. And then at the same on the same note, the deluxes are really, really hit and miss. And, you know, for $12, there's probably like a lot of disenchantment. But so these guys seem to really hit, you know, the best balance between, you know, what you get for the money and the complexity of the toy, and also like the detailing and how true they try to stay, I guess, to the designs. So it may be that, you know, these guys look a lot better by comparison. Like, you know, they're elevated when people keep looking at the other size classes in the line.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that they aren't really good toys, because they really are. They're really solid. But, you know, that just because of the, just by the fact that the other toys are so hit and miss, being solid and being, you know, this, you know, a really good buy makes them seem like a great buy by comparison.
Hmm. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, cool. Well, I think I might be adding these to a list of things I might want to buy. Not that I'll be able to, but certainly things I'll look to more, you know, when I'm out there purchasing stuff.
If they ever go like on, well, I mean, they will, but when they go on clearance, like, I would highly recommend, you know, I mean, when they hit like $15 or $10 when they're on their last legs, without question, you should get them.
Cool. Very cool.
I think I got my Human Alliance Bumblebee for a better price than anybody else.
How much was that?
A whole rocking free.
Wow. And how did you swing that, sir?
I was given a TF2 press kit, and he was in it.
How did you do that?
Oh,
I was in the paper.
Right.
Yeah, that's I was in the paper and on the radio. You know, when the movie came out, and the guy hooked me up with his press kit.
Wow,
that is awesome.
Yeah,
I hate
not as amazing as you think it would be when you open it up. But
well, hey, but you know,
get out of it, that's amazing enough.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
From Radio Free Cybertron comes Brian Kilby's greatest challenge. The computer, the evil Windows XP network, crushes Kilby with PowerPC hardware. Listen to the voice of doom.
That boy.
The computer comes with RFC Throwback, weekly classic episodes of Radio Free Cybertron. Brian Kilby sold separately. TFRadio.net.
So, that was a great review, John. So, what are we talking about now? GeoCities? GeoCities went down this week, and that's been a huge like, dent in the bank of Transformers knowledge. That's one thing that's going on. We can talk about that more in a minute. What else do we have in the news this week?
Well, Masterpiece Grimlock is going to be released in the United States and probably Canada.
Yeah, we sort of jumped in on that last week. Right after the show was done, the news broke. So we kind of jumped in post and sort of did a little discussion on that. But let's let everyone else weigh in. What do you guys – I mean, obviously, that's good news.
We're superior to their opinion, so there's no point in letting them talk about it.
That may be
right.
True.
It's awesome, especially for a mold that came and went in an instant. Even
you
online.
You can still get that. I mean, it's still available.
You can, but I mean, for like, I mean, like the markup, like, you know, went through the roof right away.
Oh, definitely. It's still like $150, which is insane. But I still want it. Rob, you got it.
Well,
John,
yeah.
You have it?
Toys.
No, I don't.
About $150.
Yeah, it's an expensive toy, and I've already got it, so I'm like, oh, great. Now it's coming out.
See, this is why I'm waiting now on these, because they're slowly but surely starting to get U.S. releases as far as the Masterpiece goes.
We've still only gotten one repaint so far. We're getting Skywarp. It's coming out. It's already out in Canada. But all the Optimus repaints, Ultra Magnus, that never came out here, Optimus, the Black Optimus Prime, or whatever they call it, that almost certainly won't come out here. We didn't get Megatron, of course, because he's a gun.
Comically oversized gun.
Yeah, comically oversized gun, and, you know, just anatomically correct, too. He's a, he's not a very good toy, but I would still like to get it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a decent, I guess, for what it is.
Yeah, I mean it's...
So,
you can get it at a bargain price. You can get him for, like, $70 or $80 now on eBay.
That's pretty rough. Yeah. Breaks though, isn't it?
Yeah, he doesn't feel like I've only like transformed him maybe 2.5 times, I guess, something like that ish. So yeah, he doesn't. He's not like the most sturdy thing. He's not exactly an Armada toy. Let's put it that way.
How'd you transform him 2.5 times?
Well, I mean, you know, he started in gun mode, but he's not in gun mode now. Well, so I mean, I didn't complete the revolution, so to speak.
Think Alternator's Grimlock.
One time's all you need.
Yeah, that's true.
You sort of get it back. You sort of get halfway back to car, then you're like, "Oh, screw this." And
that's
true. Sort of put it back.
It's kind of like this messy gun now, you know.
So is this Grimlock? I mean, we don't know anything as far as accessories wise go. We're not sure what it's going to actually come with.
Who knows? Who knows?
What's supposed to happen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's entirely possible that we get the toy and the most basic accessories, which would be like what his sword.
And that's it.
Yeah, so I would.
But that's
fine. I mean, yeah. I mean, I really want, you know, a crown. Really want the plate and the whatever it's called. You know,
screw the serving tray. I want the crown.
Mm-hmm.
Need the apron either.
Apron. That's what I was thinking of. See, for the listeners who don't know, which is I guess everyone, I was actually here the last segment. I'm just kind of not intoxicated, but. Synthesized intoxication. I've got a gigantic headache. I'm dizzy, and I have had 2 cans of Amp to try to rectify it.
Yikes!
And yeah, it's not working. So I'm not going to make much sense. I'm going to be completely unintelligible for like the duration.
That's right. So this will be pretty much a normal episode then. Right?
Basically.
Okay.
You'll just talk faster because of the amp.
Yeah. Brian's just going to take my place, and I'll be for him.
So you're going to be me?
Yes.
Why don't you be me for a minute, Rob? I want to hear you attempt that.
That's a good... Let's see. Hey, thank you for calling Lois. She's Brian here. Can I hear you?
At least he's friendly.
Yeah,
we have real role reversal because Brian could never get as low as your voice, Rob.
That's true.
Got the Sasquatch.
You are a giant.
Yeah, but he could cough and fart a lot.
Yeah, just
that's good enough.
There, Rob. Guns.
Nice.
Oh.
Okay. So, what else in the news? Grimlock's coming out.
How about that G1 art on eBay?
Dude, I want
that.
I'm just going to print it out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
that would take like a really nice, high-quality photograph. I would settle for that.
Yeah,
or prints. I would take prints of it.
Oh, yeah.
Prints would be excellent.
Heck
well,
yeah.
if the right person gets it, you know, they probably will at least post high-resolution scans.
Maybe.
Well, they should be smart and sell prints.
Yeah.
I know
I mean, what's the price? What are these going at now?
It was at $7,500 the last I checked, which was like 2 days
Jesus.
Ago.
Oh, did it? It started at like, what, $7,000? It started at $7,000, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be one of those ridiculously expensive things where like one of the incredibly rich fans or maybe several fans are going together and get it. Who bought, like back in BotCon 01, who bought the Unicron prototype? I know it went for like $12,000. But
I have no idea.
But someone bought it, and I mean, I doubt they're listening to the show. But if you are, hey, why don't you send us an email? And let us
know what's up?
Are.
We want to interview you.
We want to interview you.
We want to talk to you about how that worked out for you.
Can we have a grant?
Yeah.
You want
for research?
RFC?
I need a car. you
how many prototypes were there?
For Unicron, I mean, as far there was the
Beastars
Neo.
I want to say for the G1 there was, or were those unique? I know there were two different prototypes.
Yeah, wasn't there one of each?
Was it just one of each? Wow!
And then there was the Takara one that had the base and the moon.
The moon, yeah. So anyway, the G1 prototype was on display this year at BotCon. So I don't know if that guy loaned it back to them or what.
I've only seen it once, and it was kind of cool looking, but you know I wouldn't pay $12,000 for it.
Yeah, it's gotten.
This is the basketball with arms.
Yeah,
that we're talking about. Okay,
with a wooden dowel holding one arm on.
Yeah, it's like put together with tape and spit,
and love.
Lots of
a prototype is seriously maybe twice as much as retail. That's it. That's all I would pay, seriously.
Well, so for something that's like, a prototype that was never produced, though.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah, if it was a prototype of, you know, like animated Bumblebee. Yeah, I wouldn't even pay retail for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we know people who have bought prototypes of stuff that looked like it wasn't ever going to come out anymore.
Didn't you do that?
No, I didn't. I just hosted pictures.
Oh.
You know, now that I think about it, I think I might just be a little bitter about the Unicron prototype because if you guys think about a good magic 10 years ago, we were all like the prospect of a Unicron toy. Remember when we were going nuts over that statue? And now it's like there's so many of those things clogging up clearance racks.
Yeah, the hard hero statue.
Yeah, I mean, how many times that Armada toy been competing?
I mean, yeah, the Neo prototype came out. Everyone, or the, I guess,
Oh, man, that was huge.
That was amazing at the time.
Yeah, but now we have, you know, something substantially better. But I was saying that we got the best Unicron, which is the Universe Unicron.
Yeah.
That's the best one.
And if you don't have that, use the Death Star Dark Vader.
Is that a good toy?
It's an awesome toy. Like, not just because it's big and turns into the Death Star, but it's really a good toy.
Like, will it fight your Unicron toy?
Well, hell, mine's just... fight me from fiddling with it. I mean, he's got all sorts of little just things. God, I love that toy.
Would you say that that's the best Star Wars Transformer?
It and the Millennium Falcon, yeah.
I really want the Marvel Universe Hulk Transformer. The gray one specifically.
I want that too. I haven't got any Universe toys. I mean, Marvel toys at all.
Yeah, that's on my Christmas wish list, which actually, it's almost November. So we're going to post and talk about that soon, which is our holiday wish list. We haven't done this since like 2001, but we're totally going to do that. That's
do you have our lists from 2001?
I have my list from 2001.
2001, I wanted a Fort Max. Done.
Yeah.
Hey, how was Primus as a toy, now that we're talking about planet toys?
He's okay.
He's okay. The legs leave something to be desired, but from the waist up, excellent. So.
I mean, I got mine for like $25 on clearance, so I'm pretty happy with it.
I ended up buying two and selling one for way more than I paid for it like a week later. So Primus was awesome.
Hey, have we talked about what's on the blogs for this week yet?
No.
I want to mention that, speaking of getting stuff on clearance, this week I've had a couple of fantastic deals. Specifically, I got animated Supreme.
You got laminated Optimus Prime, yeah.
Yeah, for $20 at Ollie's, and he is definitely a toy that was not worth $50, but he is absolutely worth $20, and I am extremely happy to get it.
Does he do anything?
Well, he talks.
It looks cool.
And he's just disproportionately large, right?
Yeah, he is. But bring it on. So he talks, which is kind of cool.
Oh, there he is.
Oh yeah. My name is Optimus Prime. And he makes punching sounds.
yet another in a long line of talking Optimus Primes featured on Radio Free Cybertron.
Oh yeah. I got my Star Convoy here in my left hand. I wish he talked too, but he doesn't.
So, is that what you call it?
Yeah. So, the guys and I were doing video earlier because I finally broke down and got a video camera so that I can do like some YouTube stuff. And what did you say, JD? It looked like Toys R Us crapped all over my wall.
Yes, I think that was almost exactly what I said.
And this is intentional because when we do video, I want to have everything in frame. So now, before where I had Hero from Masters of the Universe to my left, now it's Star Convoy. Hey there, Star Convoy. Hey, Brian, how's it going? Oh, that's pretty awesome. Sorry.
Star Convoy sounds small. He sounds
small. That is pretty sorry, Brian.
No, that was Hot Rodimus. That was Hot Rodimus. He was yelling, too.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Little Optimus Prime.
We are so pathetic.
Oh, wow.
You can buy me at Ollie's for $20.
Oh. Why?
Can you please buy my toy?
Okay,
the wheels are quickly coming off. Save us, sir.
Any more news? Because I want to talk about the blogs.
So talk about the blogs.
Okay, so for those who don't know or realize, TFRadio.net really began as BrianKilby.com, and I kind of shoehorned Radio Free Cybertron into it. And kind of in the course of things, my blog sort of got eaten up by the website as Radio Free Cybertron grew. So I had my blog sort of sitting out there in limbo and no one ever looked at it. So I decided, well, why don't we create like blogs for everyone that no one will look at? So, in an effort to cover some of our niche interests that may not actually make the show, at tfradio.net, if you go click on blogs, you'll get a listing of everyone who, is a staffer at RFC, except for Chris Triplett, who has no interest in ever blogging or, going out of his house. So on it we'll post little things. Like I said, I have some finds I have some finds that were found this weekend, as well as
nice.
Thank you. As well as some
your
other
mastery of the English language is just impressive, Brian.
Thank you, XV. Also. Thank you, and now I'm completely thrown off. Well, what's on your blog this week?
Stargate Universe. That doesn't really suit this show.
Doesn't suit this show. Rob.
Boy, what haven't I put on there?
Pumpkins.
The post to your blog
from a couple days ago is awesome.
The Mini Prime and Jetfire?
Yes.
Yes, I was so pleased with those.
I like the title of that the best.
Yeah, tell us what the title is.
Let me bring it up because you guys got to remember, I randomly forget what I do. Wear my dead body if you feel like getting some faces.
Wear my dead body if you feel like getting some faces.
That just says it all. I mean, That's basically what I was thinking when I was watching the movie and that scene happened.
There will be pumpkin blood. I forgot about pumpkin blood. Well, what was the first one called? Crap. I got to see what I wrote here. Damn. Of robots and bacon. Oh, bacon.
We love bacon.
Bacon.
We need a bacon sponsorship.
How many bacon parties do you think actually went on for the 10th anniversary? I'm betting none.
I'm guessing -3.
I'm guessing there have been a damn 100 of them, or I'm going crazy at bot gun with shotguns. Again.
Again. Okay, also on my blog, now that I've remembered what it was, breaking the fourth wall, you can go and see what the studios at Casa de Kilby look like.
Fantastic. Sounds exotic.
It's where all the magic happens.
Nice. I was very disillusioned.
Yeah, he was disillusioned. He was expecting wood panels and such.
And low lighting.
And low lighting, which would be cool. I mean, it would be like a basement.
Budweiser sign.
Right. That's pretty much what I was expecting. I thought it was going to look like a basement.
See, Transformer fans lived in a basement 10 years ago. Now, we're professionals and up-and-comers. We're basically the people that run the world.
It's a basement in the house they own.
Yeah.
I lived in a basement 2 years ago.
I lived in a basement last year.
Yeah. I got flooded out. What happened to yours?
I got married.
Mine was under the highway. And a sewage pipe bust while I was gone one night.
That's awful.
I think Rob really got the better story about losing his basement.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's just a great place for cheap rent. That's why I moved there. And next thing I know, I'm like, why is my cat on the refrigerator?
Great. So, JD, what's on your blog?
I've got a fantastic introduction post that talks about all the awesome that will be there. I can tell you that I am in the process of writing a post that would be more appropriate for tomorrow's episode, in which I will be requesting the next moving of the goalpost for why the Xbox is better than the PS3, since PS3 is going to have Netflix now. So, yeah. Oh, see, this is what I get. See, and then Xbox people want to talk about how great. Oh, so we have Netflix. You know, it doesn't matter what PS3. Oh, I have Netflix. You know, now
PS3 is going to get Netflix too.
Yeah, okay, now the Xbox people are like, oh, well, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's not really that.
We'll talk about this tomorrow.
Exactly.
Yeah, Soundwave episode 8.
You just see.
So if you have
an
Xbox with Netflix, guys, you can watch Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen on it. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a high selling point right there.
Actually, I don't think you can stream Revenge of the Fallen yet, can you? I would say that you have to get it on DVD like everyone else.
You can watch the 2007 movie on your Xbox.
Yeah,
there you go. That's a good movie. Okay.
Not really.
That was a movie.
That was a movie if I ever saw one.
And it happened.
And it was released. Someone made that.
It was done.
I guess that's it for the news this week. Let's go ahead and jump to our interview for the week with our pal Ironhide 1975 from tformers.com. So, you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron with us, with XV, JD, and I. We have Ironhide 1975, who is the host of the tformers.com podcast. Ironhide, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you. And I was told there'd be crumpets in the back.
Well, I've never actually had a crumpet.
Oh, okay.
I do have tea, but no crumpets.
We have a back.
Now, what was that, XV?
We have a back.
Yeah, I do. I don't know about you. I saw pictures of you. You definitely do.
Dude, whoa.
So, Ironhide, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm Ironhide 1975, also known as Anthony, and I am, like you said, the host of the tformers.com podcast, which was started almost over a year, just over a year ago in 2008, and me and my cohort, Z Piper, who was my roommate at the time, started the podcast with the wonderful help of tformers.com backing me. And every Sunday we get together and go down the news for the week and discuss the news and discuss our likes and dislikes of the Transformer world. And my job is to read very badly and screw up all the stuff. And then Jason's job is to basically try and make me funny. So
that's JD's job here.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good combination. So I set him up. He hits him out of the ballpark. So,
go ahead and finish.
Oh, and I
way
also,
to go, XV.
Sorry. Jeez. Thought he was done.
No, not even close. Sorry.
No, that's the wonderful power of post editing.
Oh no, this is going in raw. That's how we roll these days. We don't even
we're all raw.
But I also do several other LGBT podcasts and basically have my own blog, which I'm trying to add as much content as possible to it these days. And just keeping busy. If I'm not doing podcasting or doing something for podcasting, I'm either working on the house, the yard, or sleeping. So, working.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything with the yard now that it's like 40 degrees and frosting in the morning. So, yeah, I'm done with that stuff. But, yeah, the house, that's definitely a top priority here. So, you have been a Transformers fan for quite a while. Back in the day, you were known as Bottomus. And, I mean, that's how I first came to know you.
I know.
Go ahead.
Well, that was based on basically I had my own version of Transformers at the time, which were called the Zapbots, which were basically my drawings that I've sketched since the days of, you know, the very first Transformers back in the 80s. So I sort of kept those drawings up until I pretty much hit college and basically didn't have time to do that anymore. But with the advent of South Park coming along, I sort of revamped them a while ago and did a little animation. They got a little bit of internet fame for a very short time with, basically the Zapbots being a South Park version of Transformers. And with that came the, you know, basically I would take a character and me being a kid with great imagination skills, but absolutely no marketing skills at the time, would go, Optimus Prime, I'll name mine Bottomus Prime. Omega Supreme, I'll name mine Omega Dupreme. And, you know, Metroplex and Duplaflex and Fortress Maximus and Fortress Missile Max and on and on and on and on. And I have like, I'm just now going back through my old drawings and starting to scan them in and going, my God, did I suck at drawing. But that was basically what I ran for a long time because that was one of my characters I sort of developed I actually wrote stories for them at the time as well. And when I first started getting into IRC and stuff, unfortunately, the name Shortstop was taken, which was what I went on during the IRC days. So I just stuck with Bottomus for a while. And then after a while, you basically want to change things up. And people started getting the wrong connotation for that because it was like, yes, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Yes, it's possibly true, but that's not what I thought of when I was trying to create the name. It's just me being a stupid kid with just, you know, trying to draw my own version of Transformers. So, and so at some point I just went over to, I got to pick a name that I can use on all the messengers that no one will ever use. And that is Ironhide 1975. And I've been pretty consistent keeping that name on all anything that pops up like Twitter or stuff like that. And my cohort Jason, he just for some reason we were playing Halo one night, plugged in Z Piper, and the rest of everybody just started making fun of him. So that name stuck with him for a while. So, and when we started the podcast, I'm just like, well, let's just name you Z Piper because that's sort of what you've been working with for the last 10 years. So, and that's a very, very long story, but there you go.
See, I knew you back then. I didn't realize that until you were gracious enough to have me on the T-Formers podcast back in August. We were talking before the show, and you said, well, you know, I used to be Bottomus, and it clicked. I'm like, dude, right. I know you. So that's awesome. You helped out with RSC back in the day.
Yeah, I did a couple things. That was sort of my early, podcasting days, if you want to say that. And basically, I was surprised that various other podcasts, when they first started, I said to them, do you know Brian Kilby? And you should probably have him on your show because of Rio Free Cybertron. And, of course, they said, you know, we're aware of him, and that's it. That's all they said. So I'm like, okay.
If you're talking about TF Wire, and Matrix Prime did try to have me on. I know Matrix Prime. I've known him for years. We're buddies. He back in the day, he would ask me, and you know, I said, you know, it's not really something at the moment Actually, I don't know if I actually ever got back with him. But at the time,
just scheduling, I would imagine.
But if he's like me, he tries to keep things very political. So if someone asked me, you know, blah blah blah, I would just sort of give like a PR type response, because that's me coming from corporate America. I'm programmed to say, you know, something in the most, you know, politically correct, you know, tone possible. So. But yeah, he's asked me to come on in the past, and I mean, it looks like TF Wire is actually ending. I think they only have like 3 episodes left. So I mean, he's been going for 200 episodes. Actually, I think they've probably churned out more episodes than we have. And but yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah,
well, they've been doing it for, I think, what, 3 years now. So
I think it's 4. I think they started in 2005.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, podcasting. Yeah, so when podcasting came around, and I was surprised. I saw that you had you were definitely registered in the iTunes store, but you were doing stuff there for a while, and I'm like, man, Brian Kilby should be jumping on this bandwagon. And then I'm like, oh my God, Brian Freak, Cybertron's back, thank God.
Yeah,
the rest of them. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, Mop Boy is the one that put all that stuff up there. And if it wasn't for Mop Boy and JD, you know, XV can go screw himself. But if it wasn't for those two guys, Radio Free Cybertron wouldn't be here. So, you know, I want to thank those guys. And I want to thank XV for coming back. XV has really grown up. He was like 7 when he first started doing this. Now he's like, you know, a big, you know, husky 17-year-old. And he does really great stuff, and we're thankful to have him.
What's really scary, I don't know about you guys, I mean, but just, you know, starting to talk to you again, it places me back in like 98, and I remember sitting on my little brand new nice new Macintosh with, I think, like 512K and not even a gigahertz, 1 gigahertz speed and whatnot, and just downloading your show and playing them on Real Player and whatnot, and it puts me in a sort of a moment in time when I remember listening to that, and actually the Transformers parody was one of the few things I had in my ear that kept me sane while I was working at a horrendous job that I hated. So I just put my earplugs and just think, oh, thank God I have some comedy to actually listen to and don't have to listen to these crackling bitches in the background.
So I never considered at the point back then that people would download this stuff and burn it to CD. I remember someone told me, it's like, dude, I listened to you in the car. I like downloaded it and burned it to CD, and I like listened to that on a long road trip. And I'm like, holy crap, I should be encouraging people to do this stuff.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, the parody stuff, we would be quoting that stuff in the car. I'll kill you with my bare hands and a gun and a laser if things get too rough. And literally, my friends and I would be walking around and we would just randomly quote from the parody stuff. But yeah, so it's like, wow, 10 years have gone by. And I don't know about you guys, but I really did not expect them to actually have actual real-life Transformer movies this early on in the game. I thought I'd be in my 50s before we got to see that. So, and as I look at the DVD I brought home today of the second movie, I'm like, wow, this actually happened in my lifetime.
Yeah, I really didn't expect this to happen until I was about 40, so I thought that was...
I just didn't expect this to happen.
Well, years ago, I didn't. Yeah. But, I mean, by the time Don Murphy, back in, like, what, 01... said that he was working on producing a Transformers movie. I'm like, you know, bull crap, you know, that's not going to happen. But then, you know, it kept going and Michael Bay's name became attached. I think the point that when I realized it was going to happen was when Tom Hanks sang the Transformers theme on The Tonight Show. And I'm like,
yeah,
holy crap, this has hit critical mass.
Yes. That was sort of, I remember that exactly. And I was forwarding that to people. I'm like, Tom Hanks sang Transformers theme, like in the Frank Sinatra style. And then that was just when I was getting back into Transformers, because when I went to college, I got out of it and I was like, well, maybe I should check on this. And I heard this thing called BotCon. I'm like, really? And so that was when I started getting back into Transformers. So I started doing a lot of catch up on like Beast Wars, and was, you know, catching up on Beast Machines and whatnot. And that's right when we had the resurgence of like Robots in Disguise and stuff. And I was actually out of Transformers for a very long time. And then when they finally got back to the vehicle stuff, I jumped on the bandwagon, and it's been pretty much a constant part of my life ever since then. So.
Yeah, same here. I never got out of Transformers after Radio Free Cybertron sort of departed for a while, but the active fandom I completely dropped out of. I would still buy, you know, basically everything until the 2007 movie. But as far as what was coming next and so on and so forth, I had no idea.
I've been amazed at the amount of basically we started the podcast because I wanted to add my voice to the Transformers world. And I felt at the time that, you know, my voice I wanted an opportunity in the podcast, and it gave me an opportunity. I started my first podcast, and it really was sort of practicing for what T-Formers came to be. And when I started, I'm like, well, do I really want to do this? I'm like, well, this will give me a chance to actually get, you know, into the fandom. And it is amazing. I mean, the amount of interaction that fans, and I kept like kids in like Switzerland emailing me saying, oh, we love the show and whatnot. I'm like, really? Really? You really care about my opinion? And in podcasting itself, it's an amazing medium. I every day it amazes me what connections we have through podcasting.
I mean, back in the day in doing Radio Free Cybertron, I mean, now that we're back, we have more listeners than we did 10 years ago. The audience is much larger. But I mean, it's now what we were doing 10 years ago. It was new. Everyone was excited about it. And now it's like, oh, ho-hum, you know, we've seen this a million times. But, yeah, I've gotten in the past so many emails from people that I never expected to hear from. And in bringing Radio Free Cybertron back, I've had people contact me that I had no clue they knew I existed.
Right.
But it's like, you know, hey, I'm glad to have you back because, you know, I loved your show. And, I think you're doing a good job, you know, keep it going. And it's really cool. But the cool thing about podcasting is anybody can do it. It's not like, you know, that we're, you know, special just because we did it. It's just that, hey, we wanted to be heard. We wanted to talk about something that we love, and we're doing it. So
it's very cost effective. Anybody can start up and do it, you know, with no money at all.
Not me. I'm poor now.
Well, I mean, you have to throw a little bit into it. The great thing about back in 2005 when podcasting first came out, there was very scarce podcasts in a variety of areas. Now there's a podcast for, you know, growing fungus in your shoe if you wanted to. It's just that there's a ton more, but when it first came out, if you were lucky enough to actually fill in that niche for a particular area, then you became basically the example podcast for that particular area. And I mean, when I wanted to start my first Transformers podcast, it was just basically to, you know, just get my voice out there, and then I just happened to be on T-Formers. I was in the chat room, and Bacon basically said, "Hey, you want a free toy for being in the chat room?" I'm like, "Really?" I'm like, "Cool." And then I'm like, "Do you manage this site?" He's like, "Yeah, I do." I'm like, "Do you ever think about starting a podcast?" He's like, "No." I'm like, well, you've talked to the right person here. Let me tell you my story. So brainstorming down, and I was talking, and Sean Long had just started his show at that time. And so it was, you know, Transformers podcasts were starting to pop up everywhere. And I was talking to him, and I'm thinking, well, I want to do something different. So we tried, like, the first two episodes to do it sort of like the Daily Show, and the canned laughter just didn't fit. And after that, I'm like, you know what, we're just going to have to do it as ourselves, because even though I feel more comfortable with prepared comedy, it just didn't work. So after that, we just, you know, relaxed and did what, you know, just read the news, and before you know it, when you start doing podcasting, after you've done it for a while, you start developing your own repertoire with your co-host and whatnot. And before you know, I mean, inside jokes are all about. And then, like, you know, after a while, me and Jason, it was just, you know, a normal sort of back and forth and whatnot. And it's one of those things where I feel like I'm talking like Sarah Palin now, going from one topic to the next. But you really have to have a good chemistry. Anybody can do podcasting, but not every podcast is great.
Oh, no.
And the nice thing is when you do find a good podcast that has good audio quality, but the hosts actually get along well and it flows well and it just clicks. And that's the one to see in the last longest I've found.
See, I'm lucky. I know every, just like you and Jason, I know every single person on my podcast. I've known them for years, at least 10 years, every single one.
Right. So,
and I have, we all have a good rapport together and we enjoy doing it. If nobody listened, I mean, we would still be doing it. I mean,
yeah. You can't do it. People say, well, why are you doing it if you're not making money? It's like, well, because it's fun. it's like with some other shows, you know, back in our parents' day, you know, they get together Wednesday night. The guys would do card night. Well, instead of cards night, it's podcasting night for me and my friends.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
So it's basically – it's an excuse to basically be able to get your friends together every, you know, Wednesday or Tuesday evening and basically just be able to chat. And it's fun. I mean, a couple other shows I've done, I've actually ventured into writing some comedy. And it's great when you get your friends together and actually you're going through the script. And you know when you hit gold when your friends are reading the script and then they absolutely break down laughing. And that's – the joy of it is that, you know, even if we had 10 listeners, I'd probably still be doing it because it just allows, you know, a designated time for you to just hang out with your friends.
Yeah, well, in the case of New Soundwave, you know, 10 listeners would be pretty... No, actually, we are retooling that show.
We hope for that, yeah.
No, we get more than 10 listeners, of course, but we're retooling that show. But the cool thing is, okay, XV and I used to talk every day, and this right. was for years, every day. Then... probably around 2002, I didn't show up online.
It was about the time you started dropping back from the fandom.
Yeah, and XV and I hardly talked at all. We went probably 7 years without really even exchanging much of an email. Then it was like, hey, well, you know, let's talk on AIM. And we did that for a couple of weeks. And it was great. But now XV and I talk all day, every day. And it's we've been able to reconnect, and it's really awesome. And I realize now that I hate him. So
I realized after all that effort, well, it wasn't worth it to begin with. But.
Yeah, but no, it's great fun. I enjoy doing it. It's really cool. And back in the day, there was another Transformers show called Trans Talk, and it was created by a guy who basically was just copying us. You know, the vacuum of the podcasting world. There was two Transformers, radio shows, and that's basically it. And there was a lot of competition between he and I, but we didn't like each other. Now, I mean, it's totally expected that, you know, there's going to be more than one. In the Transformers case, there's like 8 or 9, and right. there's no competition at all because everybody does their own thing, and they all, you know, sort of have an angle that they take. And, you know, I don't feel that I'm in competition with anyone directly. I mean,
right.
with me, with my, you know, the way I am, I always want to be, you know, I always want to, you know, work harder and do better. But, I mean, it's not like I'm in competition with anyone other than myself. And it's cool.
Well, beyond the, you know, the singular blog type shows, I mean, each of the Transformer podcasts are sort of a different format. I mean, with our show, the main goal is basically to sort of read the news and then comment on the news. Other shows are a little more free form and just, you know, whatever strikes the host at the particular topic, they go from, you know, just part A to part C if they need to. So, but I would have to say that with all the podcasts, at least the Transformers podcasts right now, each of them is, they're all uniquely different, which is great because, you know, some people have written us and say, well, I used to be able to listen with my kids in the car, but you made that, you know, this one little comment and I'm like, well, you know what? I would recommend you go check out this show here because, if we try and censor ourselves, it's just not going to be our show. We're not, you know, not saying that we're, you know, Howard Stern or anything, but, you know, it is, we strive to keep it like the movies PG-13. But if I keep having to censor the guys, then it's just, we're not going to be funny. So, and that's what's great is that if you want something more family friendly, you could check out.
You can send them our way.
Yeah. Well, you guys are, you know. Well, I mean, that was the one reason why David from the Moon Base 2 podcast, because he was frustrated that some of the other podcasts were just, you know, kids couldn't listen to it. And what he started his for was basically he wanted to do a podcast for kids can listen to it. And I'm like, great. And with ours, we sort of, well, we want to do for the, you know, sort of the fans that the G1 fans, you know, that have been around for a while. And that grew into various other marketing segments, but it's all good all around. I mean, the only hampering that I'm a little bit frustrated by is that unless you're in iTunes and unless you understand what iTunes is, trying to explain a podcast to the average person is like trying to explain how to cook a souffle. It's like, no, it's a radio show. No, but you have to download it. It'll automatically be downloaded. It's from a it's an internet radio show.
Yep, that's what I said.
It's an internet radio show. Don't listen to it. We swear on it.
most people don't even get their podcast through the feed anyway. I heard Leo Laporte say like 10 or 15% of his listeners actually access it through the feed. With us, it's more like 25-30%. But I mean,
yeah,
it's nowhere
that
near
blows my mind because it's so easy to just subscribe to iTunes, and or at least it used to be. See, I'm a little bit angry at the new design for the podcasting area, but it's like wow, you're actually going to the website and listening through the website. You know, you can get this downloaded. And I think part of the problem is that just the term podcast, it makes people think that you have to have an iPod.
Everybody thinks that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why I think like when Leo Laporte, he tried very early in the beginning to rename it to Netcast, and unfortunately that didn't really take place. But
yeah, I try to say internet radio show as much as possible because I mean that seems to make more sense to the average person.
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, I guess that's going to be it for this week with our interview with Ironhide 1975.
Thank you again.
Thank you very much for having us on your show, and thank you so much for coming on ours. It's been a blast. It really has.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you guys are welcome anytime. We record Sundays at noon, and if you guys are available, just give me a holler, and we'll fit as many people as we can within the Skype bandwidth limits.
Dude, next time I have a Sunday off, I'll totally be there. Promise. Keeping with our Halloween theme, which we really barely hit on this week, Halloween's coming up, and if you're listening this past Saturday, Halloween was Saturday. The zombie of GeoCities is terrorizing the internet as GeoCities this week finally died. My first Transformers website was on GeoCities. The first Transformers website I ever read was on GeoCities. What do you guys think? I mean, with GeoCities dying, that there goes like a huge chunk of the Transformers knowledge on the internet.
There goes a huge chunk of the internet, period.
Yeah.
I mean, now I wouldn't say that GeoCities is a huge, I mean, it's a very large chunk, but it's not like an overwhelmingly, you know, like a majority.
Well, even for as outdated as it is, there was still a lot of sites that were on GeoCities and not anywhere else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which are now lost to the ages, pretty much.
The Transformers dance is now gone, that Zabavor did. I mean, that's like completely gone.
I forgot that even existed.
Yeah, the Transformers.
Sorry, Zob.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Transformers Collector, which was the first Transformers website that I ever read, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Finito.
That's like the 90s is just gone.
Yeah, exactly.
AT&T's left, that's it.
TFG1 Forever's fanfic archive, gone.
Oh,
sucko.
Yeah.
That's like the worst hit to literature in recorded history.
It is. I mean, really, it's like the Library of Alexandria, you know, burning. It like really sucks.
It's exactly like that.
I mean, I have to be honest. My first reaction when I heard this was like, it's still there.
I was really thinking that too.
I'm like, is this really a great loss? I mean, yeah, I understand that there is a lot of old stuff there, but it's sort of like when they're bulldozing like the derelict part of the city, and everyone's like, "Oh, these buildings."
Well, don't
used
let
to
Rob Powerstreet say that.
It's just like, yeah, they were amazing and they were great for their time, but there are so many other resources out there, better websites, better stuff. Is it really that big of a loss?
Other than Yahoo, just wanting to not have to manage it anymore. I mean, it's not like there's a limited amount of real estate on the internet. I mean, with IPv6, there are more IP addresses than there are molecules in the universe. And please, whoever is out there on an Amiga right now telling me that that's not accurate. I mean, it's, you know. I mean, there's...
Save your emails.
Oh, yeah, save your emails. Infinite disk space. Infinite IP addresses virtually. It's not like, you know, it was just taking up space that needed to go elsewhere. I mean, it's now it's just gone. Poof.
It still has to be maintained, though. I mean, it still has to be maintained, though. Like, you have to keep it somewhere. You have to maintain those servers. Somebody has to oversee them.
And there's,
you know,
there is a cost involved. But I'm just saying, you said that it was like a derelict part of the city. You know, when the derelict part of the city is torn down, they can expand into the nice part of the city. They can rebuild, you know, the city. I mean, GeoCities is gone. It's gone. It's gone. I mean, it, you know, sure, a big chunk of it's probably sitting out there on the Wayback Machine. But, I mean, just
My point was not, as to say, like, it's being used for something else. My point was as to say, when people look at a torn down, decrepit looking area, and they're like, well, this used to be grand. Well, yeah, it did. It used to be nice. It's not now. It's sort of crap. And a lot of that stuff is either elsewhere or is completely unnecessary, and no one's looking at it anyway.
Honestly, whenever I got a new machine, a new computer, I would always go to a GeoCities site to get the CBR reader, C-Display. I would get the one that was hosted originally on GeoCities. Of course, I can get it elsewhere. But, I mean, I did occasionally go to GeoCities for purposes other than mocking.
Okay, so three people in the world are using this. And it's, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is like, I mean, and I, like I said, I'm from an outsider. Do I understand? Yes. There was a lot of stuff I used to look at GeoCities. You know, do I understand that it was revolutionary for the time as far as it was one of the early sort of open website providers? Absolutely. Am I crying over it that it's gone now? Not really.
Yeah, GeoCities is really an element from an era that's pretty much gone, which is the free internet.
Mm-hmm.
Google, you can host a website for free through Google. I mean, yeah. The free internet's not gone. Yeah. It's just
no,
it's
but
changed.
I mean, for like different website hosting, more and more people are moving toward paid hosting with real domain names over using free sites.
Users are far more sophisticated now than they were 10 years ago.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, my first website, I coded on a web TV on my TV screen through GeoCities. It was crap, but it worked. You know, now do I use GeoCities? Heck no. I mean, I have way too much hosting now, but I'm not the average user. But GeoCities was great. There's so much history to it. I hate to see it go, but, you know, if there's anything of any value on GeoCities, it's almost certainly been moved elsewhere.
Yes, and I think that's my point.
So what were some of the notable website, the notable Transformers websites that were still being maintained on GeoCities prior to the shutdown?
Well, I don't know that there were any that were notable that were still being maintained. Most of them were there for historical purposes. Again, the Transformers Collector. That, you know, it's not like a really relevant site today. It's not like, you know, TFW 2005 or Cybertron.com or T-Formers or anything like that. But it was a piece of Transformers history that you could look back on. You know, a lot of the other sites were really on the internet prior to GeoCities. A lot of the really historically relevant sites like, Renaud's link. Was it Renaud that posted? No, that was Big Bot.
I thought it was the same dude.
Yeah, no. Who was it that had the Dutch former or whatever who had the link site? Well, it's not important, but that wasn't hosted on GeoCities. That predated GeoCities by a couple of years. The original Transformers FTP site, that predated GeoCities. So I really can't think of anything of value that was hosted on GeoCities, except for TFG1 Forever's website, which, of course, was awesome. He actually added a Twitter feed a few months ago before he died again.
Well, he'll be back.
Sad. Yeah.
He'll be back. He always comes back.
That's true.
Yeah, I think thanks to GeoCities shutting down, we're now missing about 1,000 pages with someone's screen name and a picture of Starscream, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
But now that GeoCities is gone, where have these people moved? I mean, Blogger is an obvious choice. Blogger is easy. It's easy to update. They're templates, and it looks way better than GeoCities.
Yeah. Right, if all you want is a thing to post what you had for lunch,
Twitter.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah,
I mean, for, you know, a real structured website, it's Blogger is not really the best choice.
You can still use Blogger. I mean, look at the Disciples of Boltax. I mean, it's a blog,
yeah,
and it's well laid out, and it works. And
yeah, WordPress is really good for that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think... Yeah, WordPress works. Squarespace works. Of course, Squarespace isn't free.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean...
Well, depending on what you want to do with WordPress, it's free.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah, a lot of stuff you have to pay for, like custom CSS and stuff like that.
Yeah, and if you want something really slick, if you're not a developer, you have to, like, pay for the templates.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah, but at the same time, you could just start your own site and download WordPress for free and do all the crap anyway.
Yeah, I at one point ran a WordPress blog, and it worked out great. It's just, I don't use it now. So this is Halloween. Did anyone here as a kid actually have a Transformers costume? I was too poor. I could never get a Transformers costume. What did anyone here actually have one?
Well, I wasn't into Transformers in the right time frame. So
yeah, you're too young.
I had Ninja Turtle costumes.
I would pay to see that, you now dressed as Ninja Turtle.
But one year it was a Shredder costume.
Oh, that's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
I think I've told this story, but I had a Pee Wee Herman costume. And then I was a little fat kid dressed as Pee Wee Herman.
What is that, like a suit? Was it just the suit?
It was like a cloth onesie that you sort of stepped into, and it had a Pee Wee Herman mask. And
so it wasn't really Pee-wee so much because you were a chubby little child.
I was a chubby child. But
it was
okay,
like that guy from Beetlejuice. The designer.
Yeah, like, what was he, Oboe or something like that?
I don't remember. I haven't watched Beetlejuice in forever. But the next year, I paired it up with some fake blood and a Freddy Krueger glove. So for the next couple years, I walked around, and while the costume lasted, I walked around as Pee-wee Herman with blood and a Freddy Krueger glove.
I killed everyone!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a law or what, but it's highly discouraged around here to not go trick-or-treating after, like, the age of 12. It may be, like, a legal thing, I don't know. So my last two or three years, you know, trick-or-treating years, were spent as a bloody Pee-wee Herman.
Imagine that.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
I think it's more a social rule.
Yeah,
than
probably.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of go trick-or-treating this year. So, did anyone at all have a Transformers costume?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
What were you?
Optimus? Snarl, the Dinobot.
You made that, though, didn't you?
No, it was from Kmart.
Really?
It was?
The little box Ben Cooper costumes, yeah.
Holy crap, it was Snarl? Not Grimlock?
Yeah, I still got the mask. Yeah, I wish I had pictures because, you know, those little coverall things die first, they fall apart. But yeah, I was Snarl the Dinobot.
That's awesome. Now that I think of it, I was a Smurf once.
Awesome.
I took a toy sword and toy laser gun around with me to be his gun and sword. And my cousin had this little ratty bed sheet on and white makeup. He was mad. He's like, I don't want to be a ghost. He's a Transformer. And he like threw the biggest hissy fit because I had such a better costume. And I was like, that's because you're poor.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's really rude, I think, because I'm like, yeah, I think I might have to wear that this year.
So now there are a ton of really good Transformers costumes. I don't know that there are any in our size. I did see that.
Define R, Brian.
In adult size. So I did see a really slick Optimus Prime that I could fit into, but it was like $80. But now there are quite a few cool Transformers costumes that are, you know, in kid sizes. I saw, we'll link to them, like Transformers Animated Optimus Prime and Bumblebee. But have we saw any other cool costumes out there for Transformers for kids or adults?
They got the movie ones, too, with Prime, Megatron, and Bumblebee. And I saw a G1 Prime costume not long ago. Can't remember where I saw it, though, but yeah, I think it was
I think we were posting that on Facebook, weren't we, the Optimus Prime?
Yeah, you're right,
And there's a Cobra Commander, too, that...
That was much better.
Yeah, I told Kim that if I lost 40 pounds, because I'm constantly dieting. You know, I'm constantly losing weight, bulking up, and getting fat again. And really look good in that, I'd have to drop 40 pounds. I asked her if I dropped 40 pounds, if she would buy it for me, and she said no.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
She doesn't care about my physical fitness or my health.
She gets it for the life insurance.
Yeah.
She doesn't care about that. She just prefer you not wear a Cobra Commander costume around.
That is probably true.
Probably, yeah. I'll have to run that one by my wife and see what happens. So. She is, like, adamant about me losing weight, so maybe that would, I don't know. Maybe
the girlfriend would just ask that I don't do anything embarrassing.
Yeah, that's like a same rule with Kim.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what we could do, JD? I've really wanted to come up with, like, some sort of Transformers, and we'll get back to costumes, some Transformers, like, social networking site, but the problem is that's already there. It's Facebook.
Right.
But we could totally come up with, like, you know, like, because at this point in our age, I would say most of us are well-adjusted, except for XV. you know, we're at the age to where, you know, we're professionals, or, you know, we have jobs, or we're going to school. And, you know, we actually have something of a direction. You know, we could, like, but there are still a lot of Transformers fans out there who are sort of lost and blowing in the wind. We could, like, totally come up with, like, a self-help website for Transformers fans.
Oh, dude.
That would
yes.
be so awesome. And
yes.
Part of it could be, like, a weight loss section where we could, like, help people track their weight loss. You know, like, some Transformers fans that are, like, 1,800 pounds. We can sort of help them, you know, veer off back into the, you know, normal 200-300 pound range for Transformers fans. I would say that's the average.
That's a great idea as I reach for my Cheetos. Yes. That would be.
Would you have to put everything in the context of Transformers so they would understand?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I only consume like two Energon cubes or Energon goodies a day.
Right.
Right. Go from Bulkhead to Blur in 30 days.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with Lugnut.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Lugnut's pretty much my build anyway, so.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, so I would really
yeah,
want to be sort of
you're
Lugnut.
Pretty stout.
Well, I'm not like super ripped or anything, but I'm just broad.
I'm okay. Kind of like sorry myself.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm like 2 feet tall. Yeah. Have a giant head and a tiny little body.
I do have a giant head, which kind of helps me with, you know, the way I look.
And you transform into Moon, is it?
Yeah.
No? Awesome. I love Moon. I seriously bought one, and people were like, why are you buying that? I'm like, shut up, he's awesome.
So you want a Moon costume? Is that what we're saying? Because I'm trying to segue back
I'm
into the
Moon.
I'm
going to now.
So Halloween costumes.
That'd be good to work now.
Okay, just full disclosure. We were going to cover cosplay in this discussion as well, but we have a bona fide cosplay Transformers celebrity we're going to interview and have on next week's show. So we're going to just sort of, I guess, talk about Halloween costumes. So next week, we have a bona fide cosplaying Transformers celebrity on the show, Joe, who most fans know as Metal Hawk Guy because he has the Metal Hawk costume. So, but you see him everywhere. He has a website, JAG Productions. He has a YouTube channel. It's a big deal. So tune in next week when we interview Joe. It's going to be awesome. I talked with him today. Super nice guy. I'm really excited. This will be big. This may be the biggest thing to ever happen to Radio Free Cybertron.
This is bigger than a 10-year thing, really.
Yeah, it really is. This is like Larry DeTilio big.
Yeah, see, it's too bad we couldn't have figured this out, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago and had him for the 10th anniversary.
Yeah, that would have been great. If we could do the 10th anniversary show over, I would have sort of spaced out some of the RFC fan interviews. The show is for us, really. But I would have gone in and tried to get, you know, like some large names like Metal Hawk Guy or maybe get Simon Furman or somebody like that on the show. I have Simon on speed dial. I should probably call him up and see what's going on with him.
There you go.
Yeah. As cool as that would have been.
Metal Hawk Guy is like, bigger.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, at the season ending of your favorite show is awesome and it leaves you on a cliff note. But next season,
cliffhanger. November.
A cliff note is a book.
Cliff note's a totally different thing.
Well, those things you guys talked about, I don't know your fancy English words. You're just as big as like the ending of Dallas is or Who Shot JR. Come next December, I still want to watch something on this show. You know, worth the crap. And it's like, 10th anniversary, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know, talk about Robot. Metal Hawk Guy. Yeah.
This may be the biggest, most important fan interview. I want to say fan interview because he's not, you know, part of, like, the Transformers business structure. He doesn't write anything or, you know, do any of the art, or he doesn't design any of the toys. But as far as fan interviews go, you know, our two big ones right now, Jim Sorensen, Metal Hawk Guy, right there. Two pillars.
You should call Simon Furman right now.
Yeah. Speaking of Simon Furman, there's something I always wondered.
Tell him we're interviewing Metal Hawk Guy.
That would be great.
There's something I always wondered about Furman, though.
But what, JD? What, XV?
Simon Furman talk the way he writes?
No, he doesn't like you. No, he doesn't.
Because that would be awesome and hilarious and sad all at the same time.
I've not actually spoken with Simon Furman since, like, BotCon 07. I mean, I don't have him on speed dial, obviously. I've only met him, like, 5 times. That's but awesome. Yeah, he's cool. And no, he doesn't talk like he does in the comics. But, yeah, so not
so,
like,
no hovering like a vast predatory bird?
No, none of that. But
I have Michael Bell on my...
You do have Michael Bell on your speed dial.
Oh, I wish we could get Michael Bell on the show.
I have him on my AOL friends list. Does that count?
Yeah.
I talked to him on AllSpark a couple times.
But, again, Joe, Metal Hawk Guy, next week, it's going to be awesome.
Can't wait.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I mean, I mean, I'll be honest. I was wanting to tell him in the email. He's listening to this right now, and I hope he doesn't think I'm a freak. But I was wanting to tell him in my email how excited I was to actually talk with him. Because I've watched his costume. I've looked at his costumes for years. And I'll tell you guys how this popped up. We were doing the Halloween discussion. Then we said, well, I wonder if, you know, if Joe's stuff is up. Because we wanted to cover Halloween costumes and such for today's show. Then we were thinking, oh, wait, what if his website was on GeoCities? What if it's gone? So we dug around. XV found his website. And we found his contact information. And boom. I spoke with him. It's done. Does Rob have his cat on the show?
My cat just started talking. I'm sorry.
Mike, I've been like...
Wow, there's a story.
Yeah.
He just jumped on my lap and decided to pitch in. You want to be on the show? All right, say something.
Is that your cat or is that you?
That's my cat.
I don't believe it.
Are you, like, hurting your cat to make it talk?
Are you squeezing it?
Like, what's going on?
He's on my lap making these noises. Okay. Seriously. Well, say something. What's your damn problem?
Rob's taught his cat to speak on command.
He thinks he's people.
My cat thinks he's people, too. Buddy, why don't you say something? Why don't you say something, buddy? Hey, guys. Hey, buddy.
It's English we talk about cats.
Rob's cat is a lot better than yours, Ryan.
My cat is pretty awesome.
No, I mean his cat sound.
Oh.
This is Bumper.
Your cat's name is Bumper?
Yep.
Dude, that's awesome. See, I'm not going to edit this out now. I was like, man, this stuff's getting edited out. But you've just made this Transformers related. Your cat's name is Bumper.
Not because of the toy, though.
Oh.
Because of the voice actor?
Now it's getting cut.
Yeah,
no,
it's getting cut.
I didn't realize till after I named him, like, oh, wait, there's a toy named Bumper. When I first got him, I thought he was retarded or something because he kept running into walls.
Well,
so I named him Bumper.
That's even better.
Because we were running off the rails at the crazy train.
Basically, here's what you need to know. This show was crazy, and next week we'll have Metal Hawk Guy, and we'll be talking about cosplay. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think that this show may have finally derailed my dreams of having the world's most important podcast.
You don't know that.
We killed that dream.
Yeah, that dream has been killed.
By Rob's today. Cat.
No, I
think
it's more than just Bumper, Rob's cat.
This...
He just responded when you said his name, by the
way. Hey, Bumper. Wow. Hey, Bumper.
Bumper!
Let me grab him again. Come here.
Okay, no, that's okay.
Oh, my
that's
God.
Okay. Driving the cat.
Okay. We're almost there.
So, I think we've talked enough about Metal Hawk Guy and enough
and Rob's cat.
And Rob's cat. So, Metal Hawk Guy, please, if you're listening to this...
don't think bad of us.
Don't think bad of us, Joe.
Please listen to, like, the episodes from previous weeks as well.
Yeah. Where we sound somewhat sophisticated.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
JD sounds somewhat sophisticated.
Right.
Yeah, he has an English accent.
Yeah. There are already Transformers podcasts with English accents. This is the only one with a Southern accent, as far as I know. Mm. Enough of them. So, okay. I guess we're going to kill it this week.
Yeah. We did that about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah. This show is dead. So
I think Metal Hawk Guy was really the last thing of note for them to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Radio Free Cybertron are all dead. So tune in next week when we will have Metal Hawk Guy, Joe, and we will be back with more. Join us tomorrow with New Soundwave, Episode 8. We'll be covering lots of interesting things, including
Netflix. I thought it was Episode 7.
No, this is it. This is 8. No, it's 8.
It's like the Madden games. You just
You just go with
1 year ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Tune in next week when we will be better than this, I promise.
We hope.
Yeah, we hope.
We really won't.
Yeah, we won't.
Probably not.
We promise to really try.
You know, it's fun to listen to even if it's not very professional. I am dizzy.
Well, you can tell we're having
now,
a good time.
Now, that is a good tagline.
Yeah. It's fun to listen to even if it's not professional.
We're a show with grown men talking about toys. Every once in a while, we're going to be a little silly, y'all.
Transformers talk and more.
There we go.
Have a good one. Bye.
Okay.
Way to go, Rob.
You've got so much work to do, Brian.